Every broken, weary soul. Casey. Thank you, choir. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to preach immediately after that. Now is the time where we have the opportunity to show God our commitment to him by returning his tithes and by bringing him our offerings. The ushers will come. Almighty God, we return what is yours, and we give you from our pockets what we can. We ask you to use these tithes and offerings for your kingdom here on earth. Lord, bless each person who gave, but bless all that these monies may be used for your glory and for the spreading of the word of Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The next hymn is Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Thank you.
The New Testament lesson is nothing new for this season. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went and saw it. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around. She saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and she cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We're in the Easter season. It's not just 2 weeks ago. I sat with you 2 weeks ago and celebrated Easter, and it was a wonderful day. But it's not over, and it's never over. That's the message that Easter is. But two Sundays ago was another day, April 1st, April Fool's Day. And as I sat, some things sort of swam through my mind, connecting the Easter story and April Fool's Day. I tried to figure that one out, and so I want to share with you some of those thoughts. I want all of you, first of all, just to gently pinch the skin on the back of your hand. Okay. We're all still here, right? Okay. That was part of the foolishness that was thrown out for rapture was coming. Easter Sunday on April Fool's Day, rapture was coming. And if the Antichrist showed up, he hasn't revealed himself yet. That's more of the foolishness that was circulating 2 weeks ago. And that's only part of it. And of course, April Fool's Day has all of its own stuff to deal with to begin with. It's a weird little holiday that no one officially celebrates. We don't get to take a day off and sit around in our basements or do whatever we want to do. Nowhere else in the world is April Fool's Day observed officially. And typically what we have is pranks pulled on people that aren't really that funny. Certainly not for the person who gets pranked, but really not that funny for the person who pranks. I looked at some things that were posted, pranks that were pulled. Somebody took a larger sort of onion and dipped it in caramel and put a stick in it and gave it to someone. That's not a good prank. Someone took a piece of paper, cut out the shape of a bug, very large, and put it on the inside of a lampshade so that when the person came and flicked on the light switch, you know, all they saw was the outline of this huge insect. Not a very nice prank. But the funniest one, the British Broadcasting Company did a semi-documentary on current affairs in which they purported to show Swiss farmers harvesting from spaghetti plants. Not spaghetti squash, spaghetti plants. And what's funny about it is that the British Broadcasting Company was inundated with requests to purchase those plants. April Fools. Easter Sunday is easily the most high and holy day of the Christian year, and foolishness doesn't seem to go together with it, but there's foolishness in the scriptures. And even in this event, and I tried to figure out part of what was going through my mind, whether it's good or bad, was where the foolishness took place and who the fools were. And I was wondering if maybe a fool was Pontius Pilate, the Roman procurator. You know, he had his job to do, and he really probably couldn't have cared less about Jesus, but the religious authorities had a thorn in their side, and they convinced him that Rome wouldn't be happy if he didn't do something about this Jesus character. And so he succumbed to that pressure from them and permitted the execution of Jesus in the name of the emperor. Easter came, and April Fools, you know, it didn't work. Jesus didn't stay dead. What about the disciples? Are they the April Fools? Well, there's no doubt that many of them felt pretty foolish as things began to unwind in those last moments. They had left everything that they were and had, their homes, their families, their jobs, everything, and they'd followed Jesus for 3 years on his journeys up and down Palestine. They had witnessed phenomenal events, stuff that they couldn't explain, and no matter what time in their lives, they still couldn't explain. They didn't understand it. They pinned their hopes and their futures on a man that they believed was going to liberate them. And then they watched him being led away as a lamb to the slaughter and went away hiding from all the events because they were afraid they were next. And then Easter, April Fools, Jesus really didn't die. Their hope really wasn't unfounded. They just didn't understand. Maybe the fools in this story are Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests. They're the ones who had the thorn in their side. They had this Jesus character, and they were watching every move that he made. They are like the malevolent, dark characters, the Grand Moff Tarkin or the Emperor Palpatine of Star Wars. You know, they just had to have their way, and they had to keep their power and control over things. And Jesus was endangering that. They placed a mole in his inner circle. They watched everything that he did. They corrupted witnesses. They falsified evidence just to get him in front of Pilate. But it was Passover time, and things were coming, and it was a great celebration for them, so they had to do it quickly and get him out of the way so that they could have their day. They played Pontius Pilate like a fiddle. They got what they wanted. But then Easter morning, April Fools. Maybe the fools are the soldiers guarding the tomb. You sort of have to feel for them. They're simply cogs in the military complex of Rome, and they drew guard duty for a cemetery. Make sure nobody stole a body. I imagine it might have even been punishment for them that they drew the short straw to get this task for this night. They'd been sent to guard dead people. And then Easter morning. And one of the Gospels suggests that there was an earthquake, the earth shook, and they were scared to death. They didn't know what was going on, and how were they going to report this to Pilate? April Fools. Maybe out of all the disciples, Peter started out so enthusiastically, always the first, and the first to speak out too. He defended his rabbi right and left. He is the one who identified Jesus as, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He swore he would never abandon the Lord. He even drew a sword and took off the ear of one who came to arrest Jesus, for the moment anyway. But then he loses faith faster than he sank in the Sea of Galilee when he took his eyes off of Jesus. When Jesus is at last captured and led away, he denies that he knew the man. He even curses in the name of heaven that he could be accused of such a thing. And the person who said he would never leave Jesus leaves, goes into hiding. Then Easter morning. April Fool's, Peter. Maybe it was Thomas. Thomas, you know, in lots of ways we're like Peter. Sometimes we just barge ahead without thinking. But more often than not, we're probably like Thomas. Not the doubting part, but Thomas thought he was so smart. He prided himself on his knowledge of the visible world. He was sure that he understood how things worked. Dead bodies don't come back to life, do they? Never happen. Doesn't happen. Uh-uh. He, kind of curious, he had a natural explanation for everything. Science can tell us the truth. When Jesus talked about going to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14, he said, "How can we know the way to the place? We don't know." And when the disciples came back and told Thomas that Jesus had presented himself, Thomas, ever the academic and the scientist, demanded to see the evidence. "Unless I could put my finger and hit the marks in his hand and side and touch him, I will not believe. Prove it." Suddenly for Thomas, it's Easter morning. Not morning, but evening. And Jesus appears. April Fool's, Thomas. Perhaps the greatest of all the fools isn't any of these biblical characters, but maybe it's us. Certainly much of the rest of the world, and it seems to be growing exponentially, believes that we're very foolish souls, that we need a Savior, Jesus Christ. That the whole story ever took place. It's likely that a fair percentage of the general population, even though many of them might identify as some sort of religious person, think that we take things a little bit too seriously, you know.
We who love Jesus, who follow his teachings, who obey his word, we are regarded by many as fools. Perhaps there's another sense in which we're the Easter fools, because it's not just what other people think of us, but it's when we claim to believe, but we act and behave like we don't. We affirm a belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen today. And then we live as if he were still in the tomb. We affirm with our lips and confess, but we don't necessarily do it with our lives. So sometimes we are indeed fools. But then Easter comes and Jesus is risen. And it's not over. A lot of people, Easter was 2 weeks ago. No, Easter is all of our lives now. No, it's not us who are the biggest fools. It's not Pontius Pilate or the disciples. It's not Annas and Caiaphas. It's not Peter or Thomas or any of the people that I listed. The greatest April fool is Jesus Christ. Let me explain. He is the fool of Easter, the trickster, as it were, the one who called the devil's bluff in the greatest jest of all times. Even during his ministry, he acted in foolish ways, according to the people who observed him most closely. He denied a comfortable lifestyle. He never had a place to lay his own head. He had friends who were tax collectors and prostitutes, the poor, the needy, lepers, fishermen. There wasn't a CEO or a chief manager in his whole following. He knew that there was power in being a somebody, but there was truth in being a nobody. He chose weakness instead of strength, vulnerability instead of aggressiveness, truth instead of practicality, honesty instead of influence. He opted for the truth because he knew that power comes from the truth, and truth comes from God, only from God. He stuck his fingers in the eyes of the religious authorities. He said, "Woe unto you." And he often seemed to deliberately bait those who had power to kill him. And then they did. But death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. On Easter Fool's Day, God made foolish the wisdom of this world, Corinthians 1:20. Jesus was God's fool. He was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks, whereby God reconciled the world to himself. That's 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 2 Corinthians 5:18. Jesus is alive. He who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews 12:2. It was Jesus who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. How foolish. Being born in human likeness, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Wow. Foolish again, it would seem. But it's not the end of the story, because God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. So Easter was 2 weeks ago, but Easter is still this week, and Easter will be tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. And as we move as Christians with any kind of sense of what Easter means, this is what we have the opportunity to do. As fools for Christ, we might consider in humble reverence reaffirming our allegiance to him who pulled off the greatest jest in all of history, who defeated death for us, who broke all the rules of science, all the rules of politics, all the rules of sociology, all the rules of philosophy. And perhaps the best thing that we can do is simply reaffirm our belief that Jesus is Lord and start living that way completely, not just occasionally. I want to close with a word of prayer, and I'll ask you to be in a spirit of prayer. But if these words can be yours, think about them and let them be yours. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, many people might not think it's the smartest thing in the world to follow you. In fact, they may think we're crazy and that you were something of a lunatic. But we have just enough foolish faith to believe that you pulled it off, that you conquered death, that you brought life, that you bring light to a darkened world. So we recommit our lives to you, to be your fools, as it were, to live for you, and to seek support in this community of fools that we call the church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we make this prayer. Amen. Our closing hymn is, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. Good night.
shine in.